How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. Happy Mother's Day Sunday. Shout out to all the mommies in the group that are hanging out and watching. We had a nice one today. I made lunch with the kids. We had a couple drinks at lunch. It was wonderful. We had a great Mother's Day today. But a lot of wrestling to talk about. SmackDown building to a title-for-title match. I saw a lot of people were interested in it. They don't want that to be a title-for-title. We'll break that down. AEW Collision building its way to Double or Nothing. That's 2 weeks away. Also, New Japan Resurgence. This was a really good show, but man, it was long. This was over 5 hours. I had to come in and out. I got some bits and pieces of the show. I couldn't commit to 5 hours last night. It's my birthday weekend also. I've been a bad boy all weekend. It's okay. It's fine. I'm allowed to. I'm turning 40 on Monday. This is the deal now. 1 year closer to death. That's how I see this. But a lot of this and a lot more to talk about. I also want to talk about, this topic over journalism and asking the right questions and how to ask and who to ask. And I know it's been a big topic over the question that was presented to Triple H at Backlash. And I wanted to weigh in on this. As someone that is not a journalist, but I'm pretty close to being one, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. We'll talk about this and a couple other things. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Hey, guys, do me a favor. Follow me on Twitter or X. Follow me on X. I still can't get myself to call it Twitter. At Andrew Zarian on X. You can find everything I'm doing over there. I do 4 different pro wrestling shows a week. It's a lot of pro wrestling to talk about. Let's talk about SmackDown. Because this was a build to their show in Saudi Arabia. The Queen and King and Queen of the Ring. Nick Aldis brings out Cody to announce a new challenger for his title. And it's Logan Paul. This is interesting. MG, did you see the discourse around this on Friday? It seemed like people didn't want this to be the match.
Well, I also think people are confused. Is this title for title? They kind of left it open air. I know Cody said it was.
Yeah, Cody said it was.
Yeah, but they didn't really say much. I think that was a little confusing. So people were a little... And also, you know, it's Logan Paul, and he's a heat magnet. And that's what you want, right? This is Cody... Or this will be Logan Paul's second chance at a title shot. Or at that title.
Logan's. You
know, since he's been around, yeah.
And the other one was in Saudi Arabia as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So apparently they like him over there. Maybe that's part of it. And he can take a loss and he's not going to lose anything from it.
They could put on a really good match. And they will have that crowd, you know, excited and doing well. I don't know... You know, will they have a great match? Yes. Will people be into it? Yes. Will it lead to anything? I don't know. Could there be a DQ? Yeah. Could AJ Styles come out and spoil it? Could whoever the contender is for the U.S. title come in? I don't know. I hope they do something pretty cool. I wouldn't mind seeing Cody with 2 titles. I wouldn't mind seeing them do something interesting like that.
Well, I think it's leading to a big match with Solo Sikoa, right? Isn't that where we're going?
Yeah, I guess so, right? That's
the match, like, in the summer. I mean, you know, obviously Roman's back going to fall back in line at some point, and we don't know where he's going to be. Well, I'm sure
there's a number of these, right? Like, okay, yeah. What do you do with Dwayne, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do with The Rock? The Rock is Dwayne. What do you do with Roman? Because I just read The Rock, so I have a little Bloodlines cheat sheet that I have here, where I doodle throughout the show, just to think about this, right? And we'll talk about the Bloodline. Think about the members and potential members, right? You got Jacob Fatu coming in. You got Tamatanga Tagovailoa already there. You got Hikuleo that is eventually destined for this company. If you saw him last night for that New Japan show, I mean, he's destined to be in the bloodline. Then you got The Rock. Then you got Roman. And you got Jimmy and Jay. And, of course, Sammy, because he's a bloodline member. He counts. I mean, they got...
And
they
you
got,
have...
I mean, this is NWO level stuff. Who else can they add? There's another...
Well, we got Zillow, there's right?
Yeah, he's younger.
Yeah.
You got him, too. I mean, listen, I'm into this. I think this is tremendous. They've been able to incorporate legitimate family in a family angle. I mean, we've seen this happen in the past. So is... you know what I just thought of? Is Sami Zayn the Brian Pillman of the Hart Foundation?
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Sami Zayn would have to be. He would be the only one that was not related in any possible way, except for the fact that he did train with the Harts. So, I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I love all this stuff. This is all great stuff.
Yeah, but we can just say that Sami went to the Island of Relevancy with.
Yeah,
Roman
he went to the Island of Relevancy. Yeah,
one and weekend he... and had a small mini camp there.
Listen, I know a lot of very wealthy men that pay to go to these retreats, you know, and they come back with their certificate of authenticity that they were at this retreat. So maybe Sammy got one of those and they paid like $50,000 to join there for self-healing. You know, did I ever tell you I almost got scammed into one of my buddies?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'll tell that story on Mat Men. That's a good Mat Men story about how this person was like, you should come to this meeting. It's very high profile people. Very good for networking. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I think that's great. I think it's great for work. And then it's like, hey, here, it's like $30,000 to attend.
Like, nope.
I don't need to meet anybody at that price. Nick Aldis brought out Cody, like we said. Next challenger is Logan Paul. Nia Jax defeated Naomi to advance in the Queen of the Ring tournament. This went about 10 minutes. Standard TV match. Carmelo Hayes defeated Baron Corbin to advance as well. This went about six and a half minutes. Jade defeated Piper Niven to advance.
This was a good match. This was a good five-minute match where Jade looked. The fact that she was able to get Piper up for the Jaded, she just
looked great.
Impressive every
time. They have to be careful, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same approach as what AEW did. Have her out there. Have her look great. Protect anything that you need to protect. Because she is a star. You look at her and... I mean, we said it from day one, right? Look at her. She came out. The first time she came out, I went, uh-oh. I got a phone call. I wish I was exaggerating this number. Probably like 2 weeks after her debut, I got a phone call from somebody over there asking me, you know, what her deal is. In general, not like when does her contract expire. I'm sure they wanted that too because I didn't have an answer to that. But she's so impressive. Bianca Belair defeated Candice LeRae to advance as well. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. They're setting up the tag team partners to meet in the semifinals on the SmackDown side. It looks like.
Yeah.
But I'm sure something's gonna happen. I don't know. I got the results farther down the notes when we get to it.
Okay.
We can go through the matchups for next week or this coming week, but yeah.
Paul Heyman was shown talking to Solo backstage. Solo's still very angry about how the Bloodline was drafted in the third round. He blamed Heyman for this. He blamed Heyman for taking money out of Solo's pocket and putting Roman by pulling Roman from the draft. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. So the premise is that with Roman out, we're not as strong as a group. So we need his name power to get the number one draft pick.
Yeah. He also said that he had spoken to Roman, and Roman said that Solo was in charge now. But was he lying?
I think he was.
Yeah.
So it's very, very sneaky. This is definitely bubbling, and they're doing a good job of keeping it kind of like... kind of like together.
Well, this is the limbo period after Mania and before SummerSlam. So they're trying to, they got to piece a lot of these things together now. Tama Tonga defeated Angelo Dawkins, by the way. That went 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. this was supposed to be Bobby Lashley's spot, and AJ Styles, Randy Orton defeated AJ to advance in the men's. This one, 17 minutes. This was all tournament matches.
Yes, and I loved them. I thought this made this whole show look really good. So, question. Was Tama Tonga going to beat Lashley then?
I don't know.
That's interesting.
Because Dawkins was the replacement.
Yeah. And Dawkins just got completely ran over. So I don't know.
I mean, listen, you want to make Tama look good. You want Tungaloa to look good. Tama's better, I would say, than Tungaloa. But you gotta display these guys as very, very dominant, top tier. I'm just curious when Jacob Fatu comes in, what they do and how they do this.
I think he's going to be on the other side. I think he's going to come on Roman's side, and that's where we're going to go.
We'll see. Where does The Rock go? Maybe The Rock takes all the young guys, you know, and that's been his whole thing. You know, he's rebuilding it. They failed him. He is the final boss, and they failed the final boss. Rock didn't get pinned. Roman did. He lost, not Dwayne. Dwayne did well. We're going to talk about this and a whole lot more when we come back from break. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Wanted to bring up the advances so far in this King and Queen of the Ring tournament. My notes are flying all over the place. Look at these. Look at this insanity I got on here. Just scribble, scrabble. Nothing else.
A flow chart.
It's a flow chart of my thoughts.
You're making a flow chart.
Yeah. It's my deranged thoughts while I do wrestling radio. quarterfinal matches for Raw set up. Dragunov versus Jey Uso. You have Gunther, and it's either Rey Mysterio or Kofi Kingston. Women's match, you got Lyra Valkyrie and Zoe Stark. Io Sky against either Shayna Baszler or Zelina Vega. Quarterfinal matches
Today. Yeah, I think they're doing those
tomorrow.
Right now, like in the next hour or so.
Yes. I forgot there's a house show. Quarterfinal matches for SmackDown. Carmelo Hayes, Randy Orton, I am interested in that match. Carmelo and Randy? Tama Tonga, LA Knight. You know what? This could be another good match. Jade and Nia. Bianca and Tiffany Stratton. You know what? This is building up to be some pretty good matches.
Can I go back for one thing for you and ask you a question? So what do you think of Ilya Dragunov so far? Because he got over, to me, he got over in one night on Raw. And that Jey Uso match is going to be quite interesting.
You know, he's very good. He reminds me of somebody, and I can't put my finger on it. His style.
I can tell you.
Tell me.
But can we say his name on air?
Are we not allowed?
Chris Benoit.
You get a little Benoit vibe from him?
I do. I just get the intensity of him.
Dude, talk about Benoit. Tommy Billington last night. We'll talk about this, too. He was more Benoit than Benoit was. I mean, Benoit idolized the Dynamite Kid.
The Dynamite Kid,
And Tommy was, I mean, every step of the way mimicking, I mean, just his body and mannerisms last night. It was actually crazy to see. I guess he does have intensity like Benoit. I don't know. I mean, even like a Danielson style, I could see. I think he's incredible, and they have a wrestler's wrestler. And
yes,
you know, he's done incredible stuff in NXT.
In a while, right?
I think the unfortunate thing for him was in NXT was when, you know, I know NXT got 650,000 people that watch. I know they do well some nights, but listen, you got to be realistic. It's not if this guy is 30 now. Showed up in the peak of NXT, which he kind of did right before, you know, the world stopped, right? That's when he showed up there.
Well,
2019? 2019 he showed up.
From Yeah, they brought him in from NXT UK.
And he was doing unbelievable in NXT UK.
Yeah, when they did the tie-dye version of NXT 2.
Yeah.
But he kind of got pushed down, and then he came up, and then it was like, whoa, this dude is awesome.
Well, they've reshaped NXT back to, you know, what it should be.
Yes, something good.
You know, this is a guy that wrestled in Germany for a while. He was NXT in the NXT UK. He was in Progress. I mean, a tremendous, tremendous wrestler from the mid-2010s.
Yep.
Right? And those mid-2010s generate, I mean, so many guys came out of there. So many guys. So, I mean, he's one of those. I think he'll do great on this main roster if they present them properly. I don't know. It's too early to tell. But they do have something. They have him and Gunther. Look at this. I mean, look at what they have in that company. Actually, if you really think about it, WWE, you know, we talk about how they raided Ring of Honor for that NXT. They raided Europe more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
They took all their top talent. I mean, Gunther, Walter, Dragunov, I mean, New Catch Republic.
Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley?
Rhea.
Yeah, there's a lot of the, who's the other one I'm thinking of? Lia Valkyria? There's a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, they've done great job at building this again. I'm curious to see how this goes. Very, very curious. Especially we got a pay-per-view coming up. Have they announced any other matches for that King and Queen of the Ring show?
Yes.
Obviously the finals, right? We got the men's and women's finals. That's two matches right there. We have the world title and US title, I guess, title for title match.
Here, I can get you the whole thing real quick. I'm doing this live.
All right, did you find it? Let's see. No, you did not find it. I'll move on to something
else. Yes, you have the women's title, Becky Lynch against Liv Morgan.
Oh, there you go. God, okay, so Liv should win that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Becky defends against Liv. You have a triple threat for the IC title. Sami Zayn is defending against Bronson Reed and Chad Gable. You have the men's finals. You have the women's finals and the world title match. All right, great. Easy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I am very intrigued by that Becky Lynch-Liv match because they're doing some interesting little subtle stuff with Liv and the whole Judgment Day stuff.
Dude, with the purple bandana in her pocket?
Yeah. Which I didn't realize. I went back and someone had pointed it out that Dom was wearing that bandana earlier in the show.
Oh, interesting.
And now it's in Liv's pocket. So there's some stuff going on there that's interesting. It's leading to something fun. I don't know what it is, but it looks like I'm guessing we're trying to build to a really hot Liv versus Rhea feud when she comes back.
Yeah, so dude, and you know what? And Liv is great. Liv is great. I don't care. Listen, if you know how much effort and work she puts in, there's no criticism you could give her. She's incredible. She really is. Mm-hmm. I have a soft spot for her. Tremendous soft spot.
The pizza thing, right?
The pizza thing. That was it. That was the moment she was sold. We went to NXT. They were at the theater at the Garden. Not the Garden, but the theater at the Garden. And she came out. This is what? Actually, what? This is
2016.
It. This is it. Yeah, I got it right behind me. You want to see it? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is terrible for radio. I apologize. But I was at this show. This is great for the people watching. November 16, 2016. This was the show we were at. It was the Big Apple Breakdown. It was a live NXT event. Look at just the main event. Look at the 6-man tag match. You had Nakamura and DIY versus, this is actually hysterical, The Revival and Samoa Joe, okay? Which is great.
There's
you had Asuka, Asuka versus Ember Moon versus Nikki Cross for the women's title. You had Cedric Alexander versus Bobby Roode, The Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young, TM61 versus Sanity. You also on the show, NXT Showcase match. Oh my God, Oney Lorcan against the Drifter Elias Sampson. You had Daria. Oh my God, Daria. She's still going by Daria here. And Liv Morgan against Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. No Way Jose versus Roderick Strong. That was the show.
Wow, that's such a flashback.
And that's 8 years ago, right? She came out, and her thing was, she was just newly established. She would come out with a pie, and she would eat it while she's walking to the ring. She dropped it, picked it up, and ate it again. I'm like, that's my type of girl. I'm sold. I'm sold on her. I wanted to touch on this before we went on to Collision, of course, New Japan Resurgence. I got a ton of messages over just asking me questions about the scrums and asking questions at WWE events and if PR messages us and tells us what to ask and what not to ask. And this is all, I guess this is all because of the Backlash press conference. That there was a question that was asked by a journalist in France to Triple H regarding, I believe, the release, right?
Drew Gulak.
Of yes. Drew Gulak. And Hunter gave a very off-the-cuff, semi-insulting response. And it caused a stir, right? And people have been asking me what I think about this and the type of questions that are asked in these scrums. Because I know Dave went on a rant on the subject, pretty much saying, listen, these people are not supposed to be your friends. You're supposed to piss them off because you're asking the questions that they don't want to answer. And that's journalism. You have to dig. See, I'm not a journalist. I've been in these scrums. I've been in these press conferences. And the last time I was there, I got a bunch of criticism as to why I didn't ask a question. Listen, I don't make money by being a journalist. That's not what I do. I have tremendous respect to these guys. It's not an easy job. You got to constantly work hard. You got to constantly do things a certain way. However, I will tell you, at that AEW scrum, and I got a minute here, I didn't feel comfortable to ask a question because it's half real and half in wrestling. And it's just a very bizarre place to be. And a lot of people say, how come the journalists aren't asking the hard-hitting questions in these environments? I can tell you from my experience, I don't feel comfortable asking a really serious question when it's half in character, all of the stuff. I think it's silly. I just didn't feel comfortable doing it. But I think it's difficult to criticize these guys when you're in that room and you're supposed to ask a question. 1,000 things are going through your head. I think it was great that Luke asked that question. And I think we need more questions asked. And I hope that these press conferences are more real than storyline driven. I wanted to add that. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. You know, during the break, I got a message from somebody and they said, hey, what is it like in those scrums? And my answer is, it's insane. And I wrote insane. And he said, explain. I go, listen, you know, I had a question for Tony and I knew the answer already to that question. I didn't think he would ask it to me. He would answer it. When I was in the last scrum at, what was it, World's End. I had a question. I knew I wouldn't get an answer. I was still going to ask it. And then I saw that the whole thing was half, you know, kayfabe and real. And it gets really weird. Tony was there. But you know what? Tony was in character. And, right. You know, Tony Khan is semi playing along with it. And then you had people come in for interviews, and they're in character when they're doing those interviews. Mm-hmm. It's half in, half out. I mean, it's a weird example of how to do journalism. I don't think that it really, those press conferences are the appropriate setting to get any relevant answer. The guys that ask, like John Alba, you know, he doesn't give a crap. He'll ask. I mean, I'm definitely at the next show that I'm at. I have a bunch of stuff I'm going to ask this time because that was the first time I was at an AEW one. It was so weird to me. You know, like it's 2:00 in the morning also. That's the other wacky part of this. 2 in the morning. Everybody wants to go home. Everybody wants to get out of there. It's half in, half out. Wacky stuff. Weird. I mean, I love being there. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to ask a question this time. It's going to be a terrible question, too, just to upset everybody. Let's talk about AEW Collision here. This was a good collision.
Yes.
I like this a lot.
There was a lot of good wrestling last night.
Oh, man, a ton of great wrestling last night. Bryan Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli defeated Top Flight, Dante Martin and Darius Martin. Claudio kind of left Danielson in the ring here.
And did you hear his reasoning later in the show?
I'm sorry?
As to why? Did you hear his reasoning later in the show?
What was it? Remind me.
It was basically he said, he goes, my friend Danielson got hurt because of Eddie Kingston.
And why is he picking him? Yeah, why did he pick him?
Yeah, why is he picking him? Because now I don't want to see this happen to my friend again, so I'm done with it. And he goes, that's why I walked away. He goes, I want nothing to do with it. It's an interesting angle, but I like it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if what happened last night at New Japan will...
Well, I mean, the bigger part of this, the bigger part of Danielson coming out here last night, he's building that match with Nigel, huh?
And
they were hyper-aggressive on commentary to kind of tell you that this is the match.
I feel like you're right. I feel like they're getting there, but I'm wondering, I'm guessing after Forbidden Door, we'll get the full build to it, and we'll know that Nigel's actually going
to
wrestle.
I mean, we have till the end of August, and I'm pretty certain that they are working. I mean, how could they not?
It just feels like that's where they're going. I mean, he's so...
Yeah, but not... Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to go based on vibes, I would say the vibe is that's the match, you know? And that's been the match since Collision started, since Nigel went on commentary. He's been pounding Danielson. So eventually he's going to respond and do something. But when was Nigel's last match? 2011, 2012?
Yeah.
Pull that up. I'm curious about that because
go ahead and keep talking. And
it's been over 10 years. I could be wrong. My encyclopedia could be breaking in my head. Turning 40 tomorrow. Do you know all these false memories are now happening? Matches that I don't remember.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, I'm in my vortex right now about this birthday. Not enjoying it. I just feel it, dude. My ACL is terrible in my left knee. My hamstring on my right leg, my right leg is terrible. I have I have two ruptured discs in my back. I have sciatica. And now do you know what the kiss of death is? Do you know what the insult to injury is?
No.
Gout.
Jesus.
I have gout. My toes, one whiskey drink, doesn't matter what it is, will drive me into madness for 2 days. And not because like it's creating psychosis. It's because I can't move. Do you know that beer and whiskey, dude? I cannot do it anymore. This gout has taken a hold of me. I just eat leaves all day long. That's it. Maybe I'm allowed to have a little bit of meat. It's the worst thing. Really, I'm joking, but it's so painful. It's insane. Danielson, Claudia, did you find this about Nigel?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes,
what's
I
the
did.
Date? When's the last date? Was I close?
December 17th, 2011.
Man, I was right. I said 2011.
Yep.
Look at that. Look at that. Who did he wrestle last? Event.
APWA, TJ Phillips.
What a way to end his career.
I don't know if I remember that.
Well, I think a Danielson in a stadium is a much better last match to have. And it's well deserved.
Yeah,
he was
going to have a one-off. That would be
the early 2000s. He was the man. Will Ospreay defeated Lee Moriarty with Shane Taylor. Another display for Ospreay. Tony Schiavone announced that Willow would be defending the TBS title against Stardom's Tam Nakano.
Yes, it's Tam.
I say it in the most American of ways. At Stardom flashing champions next Saturday ahead of the Double or Nothing match with Mercedes. So Mercedes should get this title back, right? Or should get the title. Should get her win back from Willow.
I feel that way, but I'm also wondering if they're going to drag this out and kind of build the story a little more. Because I feel like I could see where maybe Stokely switches sides and goes with Mercedes.
I think, you know what?
She needs a mouthpiece. I'm sorry, but she's a terrible babyface promo. She's better heel.
Okay, I'm going to say this. I think she's a great heel promo. I think she's an incredible heel. She doesn't come off as a genuine babyface. And it has nothing to do with her being a good person or bad person or anything of who she is as a real person. I think it's because she's flashy. She's really flashy.
It's that WWE cadence that she's learned over the years.
And also, it's the WWE cadence. Listen, you know, she was an independent wrestler. She was not an established star prior to WWE. She became a huge name because of her abilities. She has been taught one gear to be in for promos. Not a bad thing, especially for WWE, if that's what you're doing. But she's in a whole different environment now. It's going to change. I think once she turns and becomes a heel, she'll be more comfortable in her place. Even in WWE, though, we would have the same criticism. Mercedes is a great heel. And her promos would change, especially when she was a heel versus a face, because she's a pandering babyface always. Because she comes off such a better heel. She has to pander. I'm looking forward to this. I want to see what they do with Mercedes more. Now, I mean, people are like, well, where are the ratings? I said Mercedes was not brought in for that. She was not brought in. I mean, obviously, you want the ratings to increase, but she's nobody at AEW told me.
Yeah, she was to add a demographic to the already.
No,
what they
have. I think she was an established, really good, established women's star that's still in her prime.
Yep,
she's still young. She's still in her prime. She's not an act from days past. She's not a new up and coming act that they got to convince you like. You know, Sky Blue is tremendous. Sky Blue's a new act. She's gonna have a great future. Mariah May, another tremendous new act. Non-established on North American television act. Mariah May, Camille, you know, there's so many of them up and coming. But Mercedes is in
her
prime.
I got an example for you. Serena Deeb, who's going for the title, is, to me, she's very good, but is she top level
Serena? I have to tell you, Serena to me is the saddest case story because she's so good, like incredibly good. Her promo ability is great. She never got a chance to display this for numerous reasons. You know, she had personal issues. She had injuries. She, after leaving WWE, do people not realize that she was in WWE?
She was a trainer for like that whole run we just talked about in the last segment, the NXT, the 2016. She was the trainer for all the women. It's hard to believe, but yeah.
I mean, you know, she is incredible. She's very good. Was she the trainer? Yeah, she was. Yeah, in the performance. She became a coach there. Yeah.
Yeah, she was a coach. And I mean, like, we talked about Liv Morgan last segment, and she was a big part of development of her and that whole generation.
Yeah, she semi-retired in 2015 and then came back. I mean, great stuff. I mean, she's incredible. Let's go through this card really quickly before we run out of time here. We always tend to do that. Brian Cage and Gates of Agony defeated Evan Rivers and the Voros Twins. Great, terrible name. And I want to talk about this. Tommy Billington and Dax Harwood. This was a very old school style match. Tommy looks just like the Dynamite Kid. Like Dynamite Kid pre steroids. Right?
Yeah, in his very early years started the British Bulldogs tag team.
Okay. So this is not the Dynamite Kid's son. This is the nephew.
Correct.
Okay. I got to tell you, man, I was super impressed. Why not bring in Davey back? Why not bring him and have him team up and you now have the new Bulldogs?
They might, but I don't know. I don't know what I feel about that. But yeah, I
do you don't like it. You don't like it.
Well, I don't like it because I don't want to rip off a band. There's just so many bad things that were associated with that as well. I don't want it to
I don't think anybody remembers. I don't think anybody will remember
fair.
That.
Fair. Okay.
You know, they put on a great match. Now, I don't know. When's the next time we're going to see him? I have no idea. I mean, he wrestles, I think, with his brother, right? With Mark Billington. They do the Billington Bulldogs. Right? They're wrestling, I think, they wrestled in Rev Pro last year, is that?
Okay. Cool.
I'm into it, dude. Like, what, I'm a sucker for a nostalgia act, okay? I'm a sucker for that, especially if it's, like, the kid, and he's really good, too, or she's really good, too. I get sucked into that. I love familiarity. I like to know who these people are. I like the connection that I've built with it. And it works. I thought they did a great job. I think Dax did a tremendous job at showing that this kid is good. I hope they do something with him. See, that was everything I love about pro wrestling, that match. It was fantastic. Also, we're getting AEW champion Swerve Strickland and Brian Cage on Dynamite in a eliminator match.
Yes.
So, Mogul Embassy is no more. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. We ran out of time, but I wanted to touch on this. Moxley, last night at Resurgence, IWGP Championship, Moxley defeated Shota Umino in a this was really good, this match. I really enjoyed it. After the match, Evil and Ren Narita came out for House of Torture and attacked Moxley and Umino. Evil then challenged Moxley for the title. Evil then changed his mind, calling himself the real champion, and Moxley would need to challenge him. And then he spray-painted the IWGP title black, and he stood over Moxley. I hope the story here... I don't even care about the match. You know what I care about? I want that dumb title gone. I want the old one brought back.
I knew that's where you were going to go with this.
Thank God. Get rid of that the Divas title with the wings. It looks terrible. Bring back that big giant metal thing with ultra sharp edges. That was really, I liked it. That was really good. I'm excited for that. You also had the Bucks show up at the end of the no rope match between Gabe Kidd and Eddie Kingston where they murdered each other. Eddie got banged up here. I don't know if he's legitimately hurt or what, but he was on the outside and they delayed Jack Perry coming out. But they attacked Kingston when he was already dead. The Young Bucks would cut a promo before dropping Eddie with the EVP. So this is leading into that match. Zack Sabre Jr. and Tanahashi had another classic match. What great for Tanahashi at this stage in his career to be wrestling like that. And I was right. Yota Tsuji is the real deal, dude. He's the best. He's great. I hope they do something more with him. Guys, we're out of time here. We'll be back next week with another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. We'll see you all next time. Take care.